65,498 square miles. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get to it. This is Spanning the State, and here are your hosts, Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday.
Hello.
What are you laughing at, Brian?
I've kept my distance from you since our meeting because I didn't... You're fired up, and I didn't want to diffuse any of that. So I've been waiting patiently to get in here to uncork the angry genie that is your bottle.
Well, that doesn't happen very often.
Not very often. That's why I enjoy it so much.
So we will get to that in a second as far as what has me so riled up today. But it is Friday.
Yes.
Which means Steve Scafidi will be here at the bottom of the hour to talk about a variety of things, of all the things that could be happening in the world right now. So we are looking forward to having Steve for our political power half hour.
Yes, and then the final roar is set in March Mammal Madness. We will go through the winners of the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and tell you who is left as we go into the big championship weekend.
Not looking good for me.
No, unfortunately not.
Tease there, not looking good for me.
Spoiler alert.
Yes, and then what's the game today?
The game is Brewers Trivia. You can figure out why.
Yeah. All right. So I know every show has talked about this so far. This is not breaking news. The breaking news might be, though, in a second. So I, like so many people, woke up to a tweet from Elon Musk saying that on Sunday night, he is going to give a talk in Wisconsin. Entrance is limited to those who have voted in the Supreme Court election, and he will personally hand over two checks for $1 million each in appreciation for you taking the time to vote. This is super important.
Super important.
The breaking news is that he deleted his tweet.
Yes.
But we'll get back to that.
Yes.
And this is... I don't know why this put me over the edge even more than the bribe of $100 to sign a petition against activist judges. He already gave away $1 million to a man in Green Bay. He tried this in November for the presidential election. I am so angry over how insulting this is of him inserting himself into this election. And I know people are going to say George Soros and J.B. Pritzker.
Of course they are.
And yes, we need campaign finance reform desperately. How insulting this is to, it's a joke to him, right? It's like to have that much money to just be able to give away a life-changing amount of money for most of us. And that he just thinks people are stupid enough or willing enough to fall for it. And it is such an attack on our democracy. And it is so insulting that he thinks that we can be bought like this, that I am enraged over this. And it's not even about Schimmel versus Crawford. I think this makes Schimmel look awful.
Sure.
It says, what does it say about him as a candidate that he needs the richest man in the world bribing people on his behalf?
Well, if you listen to Schimmel, he says he doesn't, that's not him. That's not his money.
I will see if it works out in his favor or not. But it's like, this is a state where the Milwaukee County Board denied free bus rides on Election Day because they thought it would look like bribery. It's a state where, in Georgia, you can't hand out water or food to people who are standing in line.
Already in line.
You know, we pass a constitutional amendment banning Zuckerbucks from any private funds going to help any city or administration, like election administration. And so, but this is okay. And so I just, it is not about the candidate. It is about this guy thinking he can come in and buy us.
Well, unfortunately, it's been proven since this administration took office that he can do whatever he wants. And we can theorize why and why he has so much power. We know it all comes down to the money. The money that he donated to get the president elected, the money that he's putting in here. And to your point, and it's hard to believe that there are people who are dumb enough or who don't care and who are willing to be bought off. So we've made this bed. We've allowed the courts and the Congress have allowed an unelected guy to not only gut government agencies in the name of fraud and cutting waste when they haven't really found anything yet. And who knows
whatever they found. They haven't charged anyone with fraud
yet. They haven't charged and they haven't really shown anything. And again, this is like you said, it's not about the candidate. It's not about government waste. We all can agree that, yes, the government needs to be restructured and there's a lot of waste. He's not doing it correctly. They're firing and bringing people back. All that goes to say he is allowed to do whatever he wants. And if he's told we've got to make sure that this goes the conservative candidate's way so that, you know, we can keep the administration's agenda going, he's going to do it. And until he's either stopped by the courts or there's some sort of
penalty. If voters show up and say, you can't buy us.
Right. Well,
and this is the thing. This is why I feel like it's a bad look for Schimmel, because I think I want to believe in Wisconsin voters that there's enough people who are going to say, we can't be bought. And if you shut it down this time, maybe he won't try again to buy whatever election he wants to insert himself into.
I agree that that would be ideal. I don't know if it's going to happen. I agree. If I was Schimmel, I would go, listen, man, I got to distance myself from you. You can't. But it's too late now. He's waited too long. I don't think even if he came out today or this weekend, it's going to make a difference. If you are predisposed to take Elon's money and vote for Schimmel, it doesn't matter what he says this weekend. You're going to keep doing that vote. And it's not like you're on. I would imagine there's not a lot of people on the fence who are waiting to see if he says something to denounce all of this and to tell Elon Musk, listen, I don't want to win that way, but we know they don't care how they win. No politician cares how they win. They just want to win.
Well, we're going to find out whether or not this is legal, because we're going to talk to an attorney when we come back, who's an attorney with the State Democracy Research Initiative at the University of Wisconsin Law School. So we'll get to the bottom of it, because
you
are not
a
lawyer. I am not a lawyer.
No.
But is this legal? We'll find out on Spanning the State.
When we're out.
Welcome back to Spanning the State. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I'm Kristen Bry. And you probably have already heard by now that now a deleted tweet, but last night around midnight, Elon Musk tweeted that he was going to give an additional $2 million separately, $1 million to two different people, in appreciation for them taking the time to vote. So is this legal? Is the $100 to sign a petition legal? Brina Goddar is a staff attorney with the State Democracy Research Initiative at the University of Wisconsin Law School. And I guess let's just start there, Brina.
Yeah.
Is this legal?
Yeah, so the $100 to sign the petition is much more in a gray zone, but the offer of $1 million to people who have already voted does almost certainly violate Wisconsin's statute against election bribery. That statute prohibits offering or giving anything of value to induce somebody to vote. It doesn't have to be inducing them to vote for a certain person. Just getting them to the polls or inducing them to vote is enough. And this really looks like it would violate that statute.
Even if they argued, well, we're not doing it till after they voted, so they probably would have gone and voted on their own. We're just rewarding them for being civically minded.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter if it's something that you're doing beforehand or after. If it's something that you're offering beforehand, then that can be seen as an inducement. But I should also add that I don't know if you've seen this, was just recently updated, that you mentioned he deleted the post. He has also clarified now that he will be handing over checks for $1 million to two people to be spokesmen for the petition, and has opened up attendance at the event to anyone who has signed the petition, not just those who have already voted.
So is that legal?
That falls more into sort of the gray area, because the petition is open to anyone who's a registered voter. You don't actually have to have voted. And Wisconsin law applies to inducing people to go to the polls, inducing them inducing them to vote. It doesn't specifically list registering to vote as an inducement.
So who decides, or how is it decided that something leaves the gray area and is either okay or not okay?
So it would have to be something that would be prosecuted or a complaint brought in court. And it would ultimately be up to the court whether that falls into the realm of election bribery.
And so I was reading, since there's no federal candidate on the ballot, this wouldn't be federal law, so this would have to go through our state courts.
Correct. Yep.
So would it be like Josh Call who would bring a complaint, or could it be a different entity?
Yeah, so the Milwaukee or a county DA that sort of would be the right district attorney to bring this. I think some folks were asking the Milwaukee County DA to bring charges. And then Josh Call, the Wisconsin Attorney General, would be the other one. And there have been some private actions, which wouldn't be a criminal action, where you can seek to sort of halt something happening that is unlawful under this. So that would be another option.
Would they have to move fast enough, like today, to stop this from happening on Sunday? Is that even a possibility, or is it something that would happen now, since we're so close to the election, after the election?
Yeah, that's a good question. Courts can move pretty fast if they are asked to. So it would have to be something brought very quickly if it was going to happen before the election.
Well, there were legal questions about Elon Musk breaking federal law during the 2024 elections in a number of different places. He offered incentives. So those seem to kind of disappear. Do you know what happened to those legal challenges?
Yeah, so, I mean, there was definitely a concern that he was offering money to encourage people to register to vote, which is explicitly illegal under federal law. But there weren't any charges brought against him under that federal law. And so that just went away because there weren't any charges. And then there were some challenges, in particular in Pennsylvania. Some of those had to do more with whether it was an unlawful lottery. And he survived those challenges as well by sort of explaining that it wasn't actually a lottery for the $1 million in those giveaways.
And I guess that's also my question. So, like, we work at a radio station where we do contests, right? And the amount of paperwork and terms and conditions that have to go to even doing a radio contest is not like a casual thing,
no.
Right? And so we're not giving away $1 million in a statewide election. And so who would be the oversight to even be able to see who? So now he's hiring people and it's not a contest and that's how he's getting around it?
Potentially. I will say I'm not an expert on lottery law on contest law. I think, you know, if it's not actually, and this is under Pennsylvania's laws, the one in November, if it's not actually a lottery, if it's not up to chance, then it was not falling under the state laws. And so because they were more deliberately selecting people who would actually be good spokespeople, be good in media, they weren't actually doing a random drawing, it wasn't falling under the state's lottery laws.
Is there any ramifications or charges for the people who were to take the money?
So under the Wisconsin's election bribery statute, it also prohibits receiving money in consideration for acting. So it is possible that that could raise concerns too. But I haven't looked into that side of it as in-depth so far today.
If that were to happen, again, like you say, we haven't looked into it too deeply. Now, he's already changed his mind, so the two people who might get the $1 million, they're going to be spokesmen or spokespeople. But the guy in Green Bay was not listed as being paid to be a spokesperson. He just won this lottery. So would there, if it ever came to it, could the court differentiate between the two people that might get it on Sunday and the guy who got it already?
It could. As far as I know, the person from Green Bay who received it, it wasn't specifically being offered for having voted. For signing the petition, and petition signers were limited to registered voters. So you didn't necessarily have to have voted in order to be eligible for that $1 million award that he gave away. That said, there is, I think, some question of whether there is liability under this statute, even though the post is now deleted and the terms have changed for the event in Wisconsin, because the statute applies to offering promising to give in addition to actually giving. And so it potentially applies to offers that aren't actually followed through on as well.
And he may have deleted it, but it's been screen captured all over.
I have it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, separately, on a totally separate issue, because also I feel like this kind of went under the radar, but Trump also issued an executive order this week that mandated like government-issued proof of U.S. citizenship on voter registration forms, bans clerks from counting absentee ballots after received after Election Day, among other measures. First, does this change anything for us here on Tuesday?
Not anything immediate.
Okay.
Okay.
And then, because my understanding is that states set their election laws. And so I'm assuming this will be challenged in court, but from your understanding, like, does this executive order have legs?
So it will definitely be challenged in court. There's, I think, a lot of reasons why it could be struck down. And it could have, you know, sort of more impact on the state going forward. But it won't go into effect for Tuesday. And then there's also some additional reasons why some of the provisions wouldn't apply to Wisconsin.
Okay.
Because we have same-day election registration, we are exempt from certain federal laws governing elections that this executive order is kind of trying to bootstrap some requirements into that federal law that we are actually exempt from.
Got it. All right. Well, we'll put you on speed dial as all these things continue to develop. But thank you. Go ahead.
One quick clarification. Sure. I want to say I want to walk back my statement earlier about people receiving being liable. I think I would need to look into that more to actually have a definite answer for you on that.
Got
Fair
it.
Fair enough.
All right. Brenna Goddard is a staff attorney with the State Democracy Research Initiative at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Brenna.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. We'll be back with more after this.
Well, the heated political talk will continue after the news because Steve Scafidi will join us for the political power half hour. Is some of the steam coming off? Was the release valve?
A little bit.
A little bit.
It doesn't happen that often. I usually keep my cool pretty well.
But this is a big deal, and it's funny seeing texters who are, no, that's not true.
I'm also just so angry over how much money has been spent in this, and this is, it's over, it's going to be over $100 million,
right?
And just the amount of things that we could fix with that kind of money. Like, one of the nonprofits that I support, we've had Sojourner on here.
Yeah.
I got an email this week. You know, a third of their budget comes from federal funding.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen to them and so many other nonprofits with this kind of uncertainty and the amount of money that just gets evaporated into the ether with these elections? And it just goes into the pockets. I mean, and granted, you know, I know we're running ads, and so our company is not immune from this, but just a lot of the Sinclairs and YouTube and all these places. And like, it's just maddening.
Well,
that kind of money getting thrown around when there's so many problems to solve. And it just is so gross.
It is, but the argument is, well, it's their money. They can do what they want with it. ABC News and local headlines are next.
It's time for the Political Power Half Hour on Spanning the State. Here is Brian Noonan, Kristen Bry, and Steve Scafidi.
Yep, and Steve Scafidi. Every Friday he joins us, most Friday, 90%, 95%.
Most of the time.
Most of the time he's here.
He's
here
on vacation.
Vacation.
What is your next vacation coming up?
I am going to Las Vegas in about 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Wow.
Have you gone to the Sphere yet?
I have.
Was it great? Was it awesome?
It was amazing. It blew me away.
Highly, highly recommend.
Take the tour. We just took the tour. I haven't paid for it on the overpriced.
Oh, you haven't gone to a concert.
But what's the tour cost? The tour costs like $50, doesn't it?
No, it's more than that. It's 100 some bucks. But you watch a film in this amazing, you know, audio visual experience. It's really cool.
How is it different than an IMAX?
It's completely wrapped around you. It's inside of a globe, basically. Yeah, everything, every surface is covered with video and audio. Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, let's get to it. Let's get to it. This time always goes really fast with you. So let's start with the biggest story that is not going away anytime soon. In fact, the first poll came out as far as people's reaction to Signalgate. 3 out of 4 Americans, including 60% of Republicans, say the Trump administration's use of a Signal group chat to discuss military strikes is a serious problem. And so what are you making of this as far as how they're handling the fallout from this and how they recover?
It's a perfect example of an administration who likes to do things, obviously executive actions and, you know, trying to, you know, do things with significant job cuts and budget trimming and all the things, but they do it in the most inefficient, which is the opposite of what they're trying to do, sloppy, unintellectual way. And every time they do something, it's going to be challenged because a lot of times it's stupid. Or two, you're violating the Constitution and allow you to throw in a three. It doesn't make any sense given the information at hand. And this is another one of these things. There are perfectly good, secure mechanisms and platforms for governments and government officials and employees to use. They chose to go outside of it because that's what they like to do. And now they're getting their hands slapped and someone probably going to lose their job. And that could be National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, could be, you know, somebody else in the administration, Pete Hegseth from Department of Defense. These are dumb guys and they're not making smart decisions.
I'm going to challenge you on that a little bit. The only part I'm going to challenge is I don't believe anybody's going to go because they have defaulted to their fail-safe method of dealing with any problem. Lie, 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 lie. Deny, deny, deny. To the administration and to the right-wing media, this is not a story. This is not a problem. And so I don't believe anybody is going to be held accountable for this, just like nobody's being held accountable for a lot of things.
I think where the distinction is there, Brian, is you said right-wing media. I think the media understand this is an important story and they're staying on it. And that's why we see the administration getting very frustrated. Donald Trump, you know, trying to pass the blame. He has now said openly, and I think in a recent presser, either yesterday or today, that Mike Wall has admitted to making a mistake and that, he's taking responsibility, but it's not going away. And when you see people in his administration, cabinet officials, Kristi Noem and others saying, we're still going to use it, that illustrates what I'm talking about. That doesn't make any sense. And I think that polling that you just cited suggests the American people are smarter than the people that are making these decisions. Just my take.
So I guess, are they framing this as the problem was this Atlantic editor was added? Or are they understanding that maybe they shouldn't be talking about attack plans on a commercial app that they can't even install on their government phones? Like, are they addressing that part at all?
Yeah, it was installed on their government phones, and we'll probably hear at some point why that was and how long, because Bill McCosh today said it was installed during the Biden administration. I don't know that's fact, but we'll find out. But I think the problem is, of course, that if you're going to have a secure platform, it has to be secure. So whether you want to look at Jeffrey Goldberg, who was added, and he's a journalist, he's going to do what he's got to do, right? He's covering a story, and certainly this administration is a story. But Mike Waltz, he invited him. And that may be an interesting relationship that we need to figure out, you know, exactly what's involved at that. But he had him on his phone and maybe inadvertently, I would think it was inadvertently, but I mean, who knows? Until we get to the bottom of the story, we don't really know. It's a big mistake, however you want to look at it.
You mentioned before that the voters are too smart for this. It appears to me that the administration is counting on the opposite being true, because if they keep hammering the same lie, they must think that enough people are going to believe it. So where is the line? Are the voters smart enough, or is the administration making a critical error by thinking they're dumber, or are we getting what we deserve as a voter base?
It's a fascinating question, interesting question. I'll answer it this way. I think they are counting on the public, at least those people that voted for Donald Trump and believe in him and support him and have the flags and all that stuff, to just sort of look the other way. But I think as people feel pain, whether you are a person that's losing your job or you work for an organization that's losing its funding, or your 401k is worth about, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 less than it was 2 months ago, or inflation is starting to really hit you in the pocketbook at home, that sort of whittles away at the support that the president has. It's not going to take much. And then, by the way, if you're going to throw in these other weird stories where the vice president and the second lady are going to Greenland for no apparent reason, not even invited, that just makes them all seem dumber. And at the end of the day, I think American voters, citizens, everybody who lives in this country, works in this country, is not going to put up with nonsense. And if they count on that as sort of, they'll look the other way, I don't know if that lasts much longer if you keep doing these kind of things.
All right. Let's take a break. Steve Scafidi is with Brian Noonan, and I am Kristen Bry on Spanning the State. We'll be back in a minute.
It's the Political Blower Half Hour. Steve Scafidi joins us, and Kristen, we have some breaking news.
We do. So Wisconsin DOJ has released a statement saying, based on our understanding of applicable Wisconsin law, we intend to take legal action today to seek a court order to stop this from happening. Steve, do you think they will be successful?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to both of my guys this morning, Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky. They both thought the actions were illegal. So I think I don't see this going the way that they want it to go.
Which is kind of how a lot of the things that they're throwing out are going.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it on my show a number of times. It's just going to be the era of lawsuits and judges and, you know, all the crazy stuff happening in this country right now. It's like, again, we've gone from Congress not wanting to do anything to a new administration that wants to tie us up in the courts for like the next 4 years. So I don't know if either one of those two things is productive or not.
Strategically and messaging wise, because I know you've said a number of times, you've known Brad Schimmel for a very long time. And regardless of his actual character and who he is and his ability as a judge, how do you feel like this Elon's involvement and how much of the press has been around Elon's involvement helps him versus hurts him?
I don't think it helps him. And I like Brad. He's been on the show a number of times, both when he first announced more than a year ago and then just recently last week or a couple weeks ago. I think he obviously is going to do the things that a lot of Trump supporters and conservatives want to do. And unfortunately ties him to Elon Musk. The money is something that he can't control, but he certainly benefits from the ads that they can run, sort of tear apart his opponent or try to, all the flyers, all the pamphlets. It's one of those weird things. You're caught in this web of extremely high finance, extremely high risk, and you just want to get to the finish line. But I don't know that this is a helpful way to do that.
All right. We'll see. The countdown is on to Tuesday. All right. Well, we'll take a break really quickly and then come back and talk about Elise Stefanik is not going to be the UN ambassador. So stay with us on Spanning the State.
A couple more minutes with Steve Scafidi. It's the Political Power Half Hour on Spanning the State. What do we got? Steve, are you gardening today because it's over 70?
I am literally going to put my work clothes on. I'm going to cut brush for about an hour because it's so nice outside today.
Cut brush.
Cut brush.
All right.
May smoke a cigar. I don't know yet.
All right. Well, the other story that happened this week that is maybe more of a deep cut, but I think is interesting, is Representative Elise Stefanik, who had been nominated to become the next UN ambassador. Thursday, President Trump said that he is going to ask her to basically step down and that she needs to stay in Congress basically because of the concern over the very small margin that Republicans hold in the House. But her seat, she won by, it's a 20-plus point Trump seat, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was big, yeah. It wasn't close.
And so is there really a concern that a Democrat could win that seat?
According to Bill McCosh, there is. Things weren't looking as rosy in some of the pre-election polling, and the numbers were giving them fear. And Speaker Mike Johnson is hanging on a thread anyway. What I'll say about Elise Stefanik is, if I used a movie term and I called her Step 40-ian, would you understand what
yes.
I'm talking about?
Yes.
She is a woman who essentially identifies her entire existence to Donald Trump and her devotion. It's like she's like his political wife. And I just don't understand. And anybody that does this, I don't understand their love of politicians because they're people. But she has this fixation, this fascination. I know that she's had her moments, and she almost had her moment with the United Nations position, and now she's sort of back to where she was, and she's taking like a part of the team and all that stuff. But I can't think she's happy about it. I don't know much about her beyond her what I've seen from her on TV. I haven't dug into her. God knows she's probably written a book or two. Everyone seems like everybody in Congress has a book now, or she's going to write a book. Who knows what she's going to do? But I don't know what this means beyond the fact that Republicans, even in Florida, are concerned about some of the pushback that's happening in politics right now. And not to tie this into Wisconsin, but the race for the Wisconsin Supreme Court is now a national race.
Oh, yeah.
Given the amount of money, given the attention, given what might happen either way, this is a national race. This is politics 101 in America now. We all are connected, whether we live in Utah, Maine, Wisconsin, or Florida. That's the reality.
Have your thoughts on the results changed at all in the last week or so?
No, I still give Schimmel a shot. And the other one's really interesting because I think Kinzer has made a lot of progress. I had her on the show. Jill Underle did not honor my request to come on the show. I think Jill Underle's underwater when it comes to some of the public support she's had in the past. But I think these are going to be very close races. What I hear and what others have told me, massive, massive Dane County, Madison area turnouts already, and they will have those on election day. That's not a good sign for either Kinzer or Schimmel.
Well, I mean, it's been massive early voting turnout across the board again. Yeah. And I said this, I can admit when I'm wrong. I was worried when that Marquette poll came out a couple weeks ago saying how the 58% of people didn't know enough about Susan Crawford, 38% said they didn't know enough about Brad Schimmel, and how quickly it seems like that turned around, because I was worried that we were going to have low turnout. Do you think we're going to beat turnout from 2023?
2 years ago? Yeah, I do. Yeah. I don't know how by how much, because, you know, there's a lot of variables.
Because that was record turnout for, I mean, the same parameters, right, as far as it being a spring election, no presidential primary. And that broke records by a lot as far as what turnout was. And it seems like there's a chance that we could do it again.
Real quick, here's why I think it'll happen. More money spent. We have Donald Trump as president versus Joe Biden. Those are reasons why we might have a bigger turnout.
Yeah.
All right. Well, grab your sickle and head out to the back 40.
Go cut some brush, Steve Scafidi.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Have a good weekend, Steve.
All right.
Bye.
When we come back, we will spin around the state on Spanning the State.